Mid-mornings with Lee Chambers. Cambridge
105. What are we going to do today?
We're basically going to run through a full consultation with you to examine or put you through what I would normally put a patient through when they come for the first time. So I'll be asking you some questions about your everyday lifestyle or your hearing difficulties affect you, what sort of hobbies or activities you get involved with, so that it gives me a picture as to what your particular needs might be, because everybody's requirements may be very different from the other. So that all links in with the hearing problems that you might have and the amount of technology that you might require. If you're a very active person, for instance, you may need the most advanced technology. If somebody was perhaps housebound and isn't going to get into very challenging situations, then they don't need obviously all of that technology. They just need something that's going to make them be able to hear the television and one-to-one communications properly. But if you're very active, obviously you need something very different from that.
So at the moment you're just looking for bits of the jigsaw, really,
that's
to
right.
form
yes,
a whole picture.
We sort of build a picture of your social activities, your domestic requirements and so on. And obviously the test of your hearing will give us a much better picture as to how well amplification is going to work for you, and as a result of that we can then advise you as to how well the technology will fit in with what you require.
Okay.
What we're going to do obviously is run through that particular part of the equation. So I know from meeting you on regular occasions that your main involvement is wearing headphones and talking through microphones to
people in
your business side of things.
Two or three times a week, yeah.
So that's obviously an issue, because wearing headphones and hearing aids in the past was not an easy combination. It's a much better scenario now than it used to be. But I don't know a great deal about your other lifestyle requirements and possibly where your hearing might be challenging for you. So that's something I would need your input from. So what other aspects of your life do you find perhaps challenging because of your hearing?
Well, I've got two young children,
mm-hmm.
and when they speak, they've got quite faint voices, it seems to me.
Yes.
And particularly if there's some background noise, if the radio's on or the TV's on, I struggle to identify what they're saying. Yeah, I find background noise quite intrusive. That's the main time that I think I recognise that I might have a hearing problem. I do sleep with a ticking clock by mm-hmm. my bed, and I notice that it seems to tick louder if I'm laying on one side more than the other.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I think there's possibly a problem with one ear.
Yes, I mean, very often people do have strategies that they can cope, even though they might have a hearing problem. So for many people, they might have a hearing problem that you can measure, but actually in everyday life, they might manage quite well, so they don't actually need any help at this point in time. It's when they do start to struggle, and then it does make a significant difference to make some additional help by using instruments. Do you find, for instance, that the TV has to be a little louder for you to hear it?
Yes, I think it probably does, actually, yes. If I go into the room and my children are watching, I will ask them to turn it up.
Yeah, it's interesting, because quite often young children tend to want the volume up anyway, so that's interesting to get into it. Mm. What about socially when you go out? Do you have much... I know with young children it's not always easy to get out and about.
Yeah. Socially it's okay. Again, if we're in a place where there's background noise, if we're in a crowded bar or in a place with music, it's fine, but I'm working harder.
Yeah.
I recognise I'm working harder. It doesn't spoil life at all. It's
okay.
just one of those factors
It's
a bit like I've noticed my eyesight getting worse. You know, it's a bit like that.
Yeah.
It's an ageing thing, I'm guessing.
So from the point of view of family history, you mentioned you have had family members that have had hearing problems as well.
Yes, my mum had tinnitus quite badly, really, and also started to go deaf. She wore a hearing aid towards the end of her life, and she was really sort of starting to go deaf from about the age I am now, I think.
Right.
Yeah, I noticed that she'd often ask you to repeat things.
Yeah. So, and that's normally the average person from about sort of 55 onwards, you'd expect to see some noticeable hearing loss. So that was a little earlier than...
A little earlier, yes.
And that's on your mother's side?
On my mother's side, no, my dad had a perforated eardrum.
That was some sort of accident?
Yes, that's right.
But and his hearing was down on one side, was it?
Yes, it was,
So that's more a physical thing. So have you had any operations or anything to your ears or any problems with the...
No, I had a blockage of wax about 20 years ago,
yeah,
which was cleared with syringing. Not any problems since then.
No problems since then. What we'll do is we'll go into the main hearing testing now, so you get some feel of what we do in terms of testing. So what I'm going to do first is we're going to have a little look in your ears, and you'll be able to see this on screen, and we can keep this on the patient record file on the computer. This is a nice new little device that we've recently taken on board. We've always had what we call video otoscopes, which I've got one behind you on the wall there, but this one actually allows me to physically record the picture on.
Oh, so it's like a camera.
It's a camera, yeah.
That looks like what you've got in your hand looks like the kind of thing you measure temperature with.
It's very much the same idea, but this has a light and a camera in it. So you can actually see what I'm looking at on the screen. So if I just bring you round to one side here, and just gently enter this into your ear. In the right
position. Yes. It's quite weird seeing inside your own ear, isn't it?
That's the eardrum. So I'll just take a nice picture of that.
So what would you have done before this device?
We'd be using an ordinary oroscope, which is the thing you see in a doctor's surgery, where you hold it up and peer through a little lens into the ear. But of course, it's only me that sees it then. This is much better because it not only shows you what I'm looking at, we can then describe the character of the ear, and we also have evidence that we can look back on historically. So if there's been any changes physiologically to the ear when you came back, say, in a year or two's time, we've got that picture to look back on.
Yeah. So when you look at these photographs, what are you looking for?
And what we're looking at here is the right ear. This is the eardrum that we're looking at there, this slightly greyish colour. You can see the walls of the ear canal on the outer part, which look perfectly normal, healthy skin. This is the malleus, or hammer, running down to the centre from what looks like an elbow sticking out at the top.
That's a sort of bump, yeah.
Yeah, that's perfectly normal. There's a little bit of light reflection here, which is what we look for as well, which means the eardrum shape is normal. I'll just have a look at the left ear. And there again, we've got a slightly better picture there, so we can just see the bend of the ear canal just partially covering the rim of the eardrum. But we can see the umbo, as it's called, which is the bony bit at the top there, running down to the centre of the eardrum with the malleus. That's the little bit of light reflection there. You can just see, just in the background here, that's the stirrup.
Oh, yeah, that's
you can't see
slight,
because
it looks like a little speck
it is of like
light.
A stirrup shape, but in some ears, it's clear enough you can almost see the U shape. You can't really see the malleus, the incus rather, which is at the back up here. Yeah, so that's a perfectly healthy looking eardrum.
So is that what you're primarily looking for?
Yeah, we want to see a nice healthy eardrum. You can see all sorts of various things when you've got problems there. So if you've got, say, an inflammation, this will be very red. If there's a blockage, obviously you can't see it if there's wax in front of this. Sometimes you can see discolorations, you can see perforations, you can see scars. You can sometimes see fluid behind the ear if you've got a condition where perhaps a sore throat has caused the ear eustachian tube to block for a period of time, and like in the mouth you get fluid building up to take place of the air cavity. And you can sometimes see little bubbles appearing on the surface there. With some children where the eustachian tube development is much more limited, that can remain as a permanent problem, which creates what they call glue ear, and then you can see a very yellowy coloured surface, and that has to be obviously medically treated. They put a little perforation in and suck out the glue, as it's called, and then put a little grommet, which you've probably heard of. Several children have probably heard of that
have
had grommets. And that's what it is. It's basically another way of ventilating the middle ear if the eustachian tube isn't working. So that's what we're looking for, is different aspects of how the ear canal, the wall of the ear canal, the eardrum, etc. is looking. Anything that's specifically abnormal is very often a referable condition, unless it's something that we are not particularly worried about. What we're going to do next is to run a speech test. We can do it through headphones, or we can do it through like insert earphones. What this is going to be is a test of speech in noise. It's a test that was devised in the States. So it's an American female voice that you'll be listening to. What we're doing is running six sentences with keywords that we score on. We ask you to repeat as much of each sentence as you hear. And with each sentence, there's a background speech babble that gets louder and louder. So it becomes progressively more difficult for you to pick out the main speaker's voice. So we'll do that first of all with both ears, and then we'll do each ear separately. So we'll see if there is any noticeable difference. And I just need you to repeat, as I say, as much of the sentence as you hear. So we set it at a level that you should hear quite clearly, and then ask you to repeat. And then I score it, depending on how many words you get right. So if you're ready, we'll start you off.
A white silk jacket goes with any shoes. The child crawled into the dense grass. It is a band of steel, 3 inches wide. Something about occupied territories in Serbia. That's just all I could get.
Right. OK, so that's given you a score for both ears.
So obviously, with that, you're looking at the ear's ability to pick out specific noises.
Well, what we're doing there is we're really testing the brain's ability to decode key information, which is conversation, in increasing background speech babble. And speech babble is particularly relevant because it's the most difficult thing to separate from the speech you want to hear. It's easier if you've got, say, traffic noise, which is a steady state compared to speech, although it can still be destructive to conversation if it's loud enough. But essentially what we're doing is we're measuring your ability to pick out the particular words with increasing background speech babble. That last sentence, the speech babble, is the same level as the speech you're trying to listen for. So it's, you have to have really A1 hearing to be able to pick out any of those. So actually, if we look at your scores now, what this shows us, you've got a total score maximum of 30 points, because each sentence has 5 key words in it, and we've got 6 sentences. So the total maximum score is 30. Now, this is your left ear that we've just done, and you scored 24 there. You scored 25 in your right ear. So both ears are giving pretty closely the same results, although you may notice a slight difference in volume when you're listening to a clock ticking. That's one particular frequency in your range. For somebody else, it might be a lot easier to actually pick those sounds out. There were one or two times where sentence 4 and 5, you had to think a bit more about what you were actually getting, and there was one word wrong in one of them, which is why you scored slightly lower than the other one. So that actually gives us a total, which is called the signal-to-noise ratio total. And in most of them there, we're looking at 0.5, 0.5, 1.5. Anything between 0 and 3 means you've got near normal hearing. So at the moment, using that test only, for speech in noise situations, your hearing is not too bad.
You're saying you're measuring the brain's ability to pick out. Mm. Are you measuring the brain then, or the ear?
No, we're measuring both, because we hear sound with our ears, we actually understand with our brain. So hearing is one thing, understanding is a neural process. And the ability to separate speech in background noise is not just a matter of what goes into the ear, it's a matter of how you then sort that information out in the brain.
So when you're talking about measuring hearing, what I'm understanding is that you're not just measuring the basic levels, you're measuring the neural processes, how we interpret.
Yeah. The next test that I'm going to do now is just to measure the very simple sounds over the frequency range that speech is covered. And again, that would be done through headphones, where we just ask you to press a button each time you hear the sound, and we work it down until you can't hear it, and you just measure the very quietest level of each of those tones. I'll give you a press button, and I'll turn you away so you can't see my hand movements. And we're going to back onto the headphones. We'll do one ear at a time this time.
Right.
And I just need you to press the button every time you hear a sound, no matter how quiet it is. Okay, we're going to start in the right ear. So just press whenever you hear the sounds. Okay, now the other ear.
What I'm hearing at the moment is a series of
beeps.
Yeah. As if they're going further away. So they start loud and go further away.
Right, let's take the headphones off now. So that's a fairly basic tone test. This is your right ear, and this is your left ear. Both very similar, as you can see. Mm. Normal for an 18-year-old is the zero line. So you're fairly close to that. There's a little bit of low-frequency dip there. This shaded area is what we call the speech banana. Lovely terminology. And basically it shows where all the speech sounds are. Anything that falls underneath your threshold, you're hearing clearly. Anything that's slightly above means that you're just on the cusp. So you're hearing pretty well 95% of everything that's in the speech range there, which accounts for why you're hearing reasonably well in noise. So there is a little bit there. What we'd also do now is what we call a bone conduction test, which is where we put a little vibrator on the back behind the ear on the mastoid and just run a few frequencies by to see if there's a difference between the sound you're hearing through the normal